Now, one of the things that I love doing when I drive around Wurrunga or wherever I am is that look on the roofs of cars that are around
me. Recording in progress.
Often we, as people are driving their cars around here, you see something on their roof, don't you? It might be a kayak rack, ready to hold a kayak. It might be a bike rack. And when we see the kayak rack on someone's roof, we think, oh, they must be a kayaker. Yeah. We see someone with a bike rack and we think, oh, they must be a cyclist. Maybe it's on the roof, maybe the tow ball, that's quite popular now. But we think, oh, they're a cyclist. See, what we put on our cars can sometimes define who we are. When you start travelling outside of Sydney, you see more and more of these tents on top of four-wheel drives, don't you? And you think, oh, they're campers. They love the great outdoors, don't they? And then you see the guy with the ladder, the van and the ladder, not pointing any fingers, you know, some tubes on top, and we think, of course, he's a plumber. We define people by what they put on their roof. Now, the reason we do this is we do this a lot because we want our bikes and kayaks and tools accessible. We need to get the ladder off quick and we need to put it against the wall and get on to the task that we want to get on to. Now, at this point, I could ask, well, what's on your roof? What's on your roof? What's so important to you and what would you put on your roof that would define who you are? So if the most important thing in your life was on the roof of your car, what would it be? What would it be? And what we're asking today in this sermon is what defines you? What is it that makes you the person you are today? And what makes you do, what do you do to make sure that you live up to what defines you? Now we're looking at four verses today, four verses that help us see what defines us as followers of Jesus. And we're going to ask why it defines us. And we'll finish up by looking at how we can work on living up to who Jesus has already made us to be. Now we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4. It'd be great to have a Bible open and your bulletins open if you want to follow along in the outline. We're coming into our first point there. And the book of Colossians, we've seen, has an argument from chapter 1 all the way through. We've heard about who Jesus is. We've heard that the mystery of Christ, or of being in Christ, has been disclosed to us. And as we grow in Christ, we're reminded to continue to turn to Jesus to stay the course. So the whole time, the book of Colossians has been showing us what it means to follow Jesus. Now, as we get into chapter 3, we see it starts with a conditional sentence. What he's about to say is only relevant if you are a follower of Jesus. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, the first part of that sentence says, since then. Some versions have, if then. If then you are a follower of Jesus, there are some things that you need to sort out, if that's for you. And we see two things that define followers of Jesus. The first has to do with our hearts, and the second has to do with our minds. And you can see it there in verse 1. It says hearts, and then down in verse 2, we see the word minds. Now, look at verse 1, and halfway through the sentence it says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, this is a command. It's not a request, it's a command. You must do this. You must set your hearts on things above. This means we are to seek out, or to look for, to go after, to long for, to desire. We're to set our things, or set our hearts on things above. Now, the heart could refer to our affections, our passions, our pursuits. And we're to point our heart towards something above. Now, the great thing in this verse is that it actually gives us a qualifier. If we're wondering where Paul wants us to look, the end of verse 1 tells us. Look at the end of verse 1. It says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, set your hearts on Jesus, who sits enthroned in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, meaning that as we look at the victorious nature of Jesus' kingdom and set our hearts on him. Now, being seated at the right hand of God means that Jesus is seated on a throne. It shows us his authority. It shows us that he is already victorious, seated at the right hand of the Father. And Paul is urging those in Colossae to look up. Set your affections and passions upwards and look where Jesus is seated above. And set your hearts on those things. Now, before we go on to what that actually means, we're going to look at verse 2. Because verse 2 is very similar, but it uses a different word. We see it in verse 2. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. It fills in the picture for us a bit, doesn't it? Here it says, set your minds. We heard hearts, and now it comes to the mind. It's saying that our thinking and thought processes need to be directed upwards. There needs to be some reorientation of the things of towards the things of God in our minds, so that we are directed by him and not directed by earthly things. And I think that's the comparison here. It's similar to hearts in that our minds look up to Jesus, but it's about followers of Jesus having their hearts and minds reoriented towards Jesus. And somehow this is needed. Even if you're a follower of Jesus, you still need to reorient yourself toward Jesus. As Christians, when we follow Jesus, we get the Spirit, we become brothers and sisters in Christ, we're co-heirs with Jesus. Yet, even us, even as people following Jesus, we need the reminder to set our hearts and minds above to Jesus. So we've seen that two things need to change. Or perhaps you could say there's two imperatives for us to consider as we live life on this earth. Set your hearts and set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So what does that mean? Well, this passage is about followers of Jesus having hearts and minds for the things of God. Now, we could say that it's about having kingdom values, or perhaps a kingdom mentality. And I think both can apply here, especially to the mind. It's a determination to think differently, or kingdomly. That's my new word for today. Think kingdomly about how we live life. See, as we look upward toward Jesus, we understand that we're to shape our thinking because of the eternal nature of Jesus, or we shape our thinking because of where Jesus is seated, already victorious at the right hand of the Father. Now, I think it's really easy to get distracted in our world today, where we're in a church where people who are trying to live their lives as best they can, and in the middle of all that, whether for good or bad, we need the reminder that we need to live today in light of the eternity. We live today in light of the enthroned Jesus seated at the right hand of God. Now, for many of us, we are very focused on the here and now, that often the eternal gets lost, doesn't it? And we need that reminder. We need the reminder, reorient yourself. There is something better to come. Now, for those in Colossae, they needed to shift their focus away from false teachers. That's what we've heard so far. And they needed this encouragement to look to Jesus. Their starting point for understanding life as a follower of Jesus is Jesus. That's what we heard last week, wasn't it? They needed the reminder to look to him in light of the victorious Jesus seated on the throne. They would approach life and interpret how things were going in light of what Jesus has already done. Paul is trying to reorient them towards Jesus. Now, I like taking photos. I've always had a reasonable camera for the last 10 years, I've always had a reasonable camera, but the one I've got is about 10 years old, and I still really like it. But what I really like is the macro function, or the portrait function, on the camera. So when you take a macro shot or a portrait, certain things are brought into focus. If everything in a photo is clear, which is sometimes nice, then nothing in particular is in focus. Now, that's nice when you're taking a photo of a landscape. It's nice to see everything clearly, but a macro shot, a shot of a flower or a bird or a person, it's always nice to have them clear and in focus, and perhaps the rest of the photo out of focus. Now, take a look at some of these photos I've got. So here's a photo. Isn't that nice? Well, this is a picture of a cake. I've got it written here. But I think you could work that one out. This was Australia Day this year, and you can see the cake is clearly in focus. It draws you in to look at the cake. You're probably wondering, oh, what sort of cake is that? I wouldn't mind a piece. Why doesn't he bring that to morning tea? But you're so drawn in by the cake that you probably haven't noticed Corinne and Annalise sitting in the background. You see? You're not distracted by them. Your focus is brought to the cake. The next one's of some flowers. And again, we're drawn to that flower that's at the front and centre. You focus in on that one flower, isn't it? And this is the message for us, isn't it? We're to reorient ourselves to have a kingdom focus. Don't be distracted by peripherals. If we live with our hearts and minds set on the things above, then it changes everything, doesn't it? Now, this verse has two ways of living life, a focus on the now and the future. In light of Jesus seated on the throne above, we will see today differently. Relationships will be different. We'll make different choices about what we do with our finances. Our time with people will be determined by how we think kingdomly. Our desire to get to know people. Our desire to have people come into the kingdom. All of it changes because we are kingdom oriented. See, as we look upwards towards Jesus, it reorients us to see clearly the finished work of Jesus for us. We're reminded of his supremacy. We're reminded that the end is already in sight. This is a future focus. And the whole idea here is that we reshape our thought process and perspective of things around us based on an eternal reality. It means that we make decisions today in light of an eternal kingdom. An eternal kingdom that is already functioning and victorious. Now, the reorientation of our hearts and minds is crucially important for many reasons. See, we don't interpret the eternal in light of the temporal, but we interpret the temporal in light of the eternal. In other words, we approach earthly things with an eternal perspective. That's how followers of Jesus set their hearts and minds on things above. Now, I think that's especially challenging for us, because for many of us, the temporal seems so real, doesn't it? We look at the park across the road. We see the colours and the fun that people have. We see cakes and flowers and we think, wow, so many good things. Milkshakes, tubes, gardens. All of it is so good, isn't it? And we're tempted to believe that this is so real, that this is so permanent. But we need the reminder that it's all temporary. And look to the future, look to Jesus, and look to the eternal and see the permanent nature of the eternal and what life is really for. We live today in light of the eternal. Now that's our first point. As we head into our second point, it's worth restating what we've heard, reminding us that we've had our hearts and minds set on things above, and then ask the question. You can see the question in your outline. Well, why? And we've heard that as followers of Jesus, we should set our hearts and minds on things above. And the question is, well, why? What? Why should we set our hearts and minds on things above? And the answer is in verses 3 and 4. And the first part of that answer is in verse 3. And that is, as followers of Jesus, we have died, or followers of Jesus have died, and their lives are hidden with Christ. And the second why is because when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now let's look at both of these things. Asking the question, why should we set our hearts and minds on things above? First, because followers of Jesus have died and their lives are hidden with Christ. And we see that in verse 3. Now we hear the theme of being dead in your sins and made alive in Christ throughout the New Testament. It was even in our passage from last week, if you missed it, in verse 13 of chapter 2. It said, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. And the rest of verse 13 and 14 tells us what this means. It says, he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with all its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. See, trusting in Jesus and his death on the cross takes us from being dead in our sins and makes us alive in Christ. Now, as we turn back to chapter 3, verse 3, and ask the question, well, why should we set our hearts and minds on things above? The answer is, well, you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. Now, there's something spiritual that goes on when you turn to Jesus. This is about union with Christ. We're made brothers and sisters of Jesus. It's about talking about salvation being a sure bet because it's given to us by Jesus. Not only are we made alive because you have union with Christ, but now your life is hidden in him. Now, it's not about hide and seek. This is about being safe in Jesus. That's why we set our hearts and minds on things above. Because we have new life in Christ. Now life is hidden with Christ and we are safe in Christ. That's why. And in verse 3, you see that this is the present reality. Your life is hidden with Christ. See, the present reality for all who follow Jesus is like a treasure chest. And you can see the outside. It doesn't matter how ornate or ugly the chest is. The treasure is not the chest. It's what's inside the chest that's worth having, isn't it? And we have been hidden with Christ because there's something greater to come. Romans 6:16 speaks about how about us being slaves to Christ, meaning we have a new master. So we don't serve the old master, but we turn and serve the new master, and that's what's going on here. We are hidden in Christ. It's like the image that we read about in Revelation, that those who follow Jesus have their names written in the book of life. It's like we've been stored away and our names are written in a book for a later time. And in that way, we're hidden with Christ. We are his, ready for him to use right now, but hidden away because at some later day, as it says in verse 4, there is a great revealing of all who trust in him. Yeah, and this is what verse 4 is trying to say as well. Let us ask the question again. Why should we set our hearts and minds on things above? And verse 4 gives us another answer. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, the answer is we belong to Jesus. If you trust in Jesus, you belong to him. What we hear was our conclusion from verse 3. It's also the same as question 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. I told you the whole thing last week. You're going to get some more of it this week. We're going to focus on the first part. It says, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? We have a change of heart and mind, and now we are safe and hidden in Christ. Both now and into the future, we are safe. And this answer says that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's why we set our hearts and minds on the things of Christ, because we are his. We belong to him. And I think this is a wonderful thing to remember because many of us have have family, but those families have things we'd be ashamed to even mention. We have uncles or aunts or brothers or sisters who don't speak to us, some relatives we haven't seen for years, and it's all because of broken relationships. But we belong to Jesus, and we know that we are saved. There's nothing broken about our relationship with Jesus. So look to him and know that in the midst of pain and suffering, there's great hope. It's like the words of that hymn you may know. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Set your hearts and minds on the things above. We started by looking at what people put on their roof, and I asked you, if the most important thing in your life was on your roof, what would it be? Well, according to this passage, the best thing we can do is to have a focus on the future that impacts our today. Or as I've been saying throughout, live today in light of the eternal, because you belong to Jesus. And for many of us, we need to strap a kingdom mentality to the roof, don't we? A mentality that helps us put Jesus first. As we look above to Jesus, it reminds us that Jesus is coming back. There's a sense of urgency to proclaim the message of Jesus. I was reminded yesterday that there are a lot of churches around us in this area, but there are still people who don't know the Lord Jesus. So the work is not done. Look above, look to Jesus, and remind yourself that he's coming back. Remember your oikos, those 10 to 15 people you're praying about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a brochure in the foyer at the back. Grab that flyer, a bookmark and postcard, and then start to pray, invest, inform, and invite those people who are in your oikos. See, this is what it means to look above. But as we look above, we're also reminded that how we live today is important. Now, I'll finish here because the next few weeks are filled with practical ways on how to live out the kingdom in your life. You might like to read ahead, but chapter 3 and 4 are full of ways that we can apply this kingdom mentality. But I think for us right now, it's a good reminder for us to remember that we have died with Christ, that we were buried with him, we have been raised, and as we saw today, we will be glorified with him. And because we live today in light of these truths, our whole life should be shaped to fit with Jesus' finished work for us. We live today in light of eternity. So strap that on the roof, that you belong to Jesus, both hearts and minds, and set your minds on things above. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that this church will be a church that proclaims the good news of Jesus till he returns. Lord, we want to be part of that. We want to see people come into the kingdom and proclaim you as Lord and Saviour. Open the hearts of our friends, Lord, so that they can see you. Lord, use each one of us and give each one of us a kingdom heart and a kingdom mind. And we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.